welcome back to Between Two Wings. I am your host, Emily Norman, and today we have Susan Bell with us, who is a competition aerobatic pilot with hopes to be on the U.S. aerobatic team one day. Susan, thank you so much for joining us for this episode.
Thank you so much, Emily, for inviting me. I'm really excited to be on this. I love for flight.
So we like to start off each episode by just kind of explaining where we're at virtually. So if you see behind me, I have a smiling 747. This was at Osh a few years ago, and I'm so excited to get back there. But where are you at?
Oh, I am flying in my Extra 300 over Lake Mead after the 2018 U.S. National Aerobatic Championships in Oshkosh. And it was one of the most harrowing flights trying to get from Wisconsin to Southern California. And this was day two of trying to get home due to IMC, rain, weather, there were thunderstorms. Yeah, it was a trip flying a day VFR plane, literally more than halfway across the country. So
yeah, so tell us a little about that. What are some of the things that or the limitations you have when you're flying an aerobatic plane and you are literally only limited to day VFR?
Ooh. So these planes, first off, are not stable. They are purposely, you know, unstable to fly for aerobatics. So most of the time, unless you're in a very fancy one that has an autopilot, there's no autopilot. So you have to keep your hand on the stick the entire time, or within a second or two, you'll be upside down. It is day VFR only, even though I'm instrument rated, a flight instructor and all that stuff, these planes are not instrument rated. And so we have to go around the weather, and there's a lot of I follow roads type flying where you're trying to get in somewhere and you're literally following roads beneath a cloud deck. And if it gets too low, you just land. And I have totally been like grounded because of low clouds ahead, and you just have to land and wait out the weather. On this particular trip in my background, I ended up in South Dakota, and I wasn't supposed to be flying over South Dakota trying to get home. So,
yeah, I can imagine you probably get rerouted more often than in a 172.
Yeah.
So these aerobatic planes, you know, obviously there's a lot of different things when you're doing cross countries, but for their main use of being inverted, doing these amazing maneuvers, what are some of the challenges with weather that come into play here?
Oh, so weather, so it's interesting. It's just like, you know, say you're a student pilot or, you know, you're a certified pilot and you're flying a trip and you're going to check the METARs and the weather at the airports you're going to. Well, when we're at a contest, we're already probably at the airport, but things like winds are very important. So there's first off, the surface winds that you normally would check as a pilot, you know, whether you're going to, how much is the crosswind? Is it safe to take off? Is it safe to land? And there are actually rules in our rule book that tell us how much wind is permissible for the contest to keep flying. But even more importantly, we actually have to stay in an aerobatic box up in the sky. And so before you get it, you know, you dive in for your flight in the box, first off, if you're later in the program, you're watching all the other airplanes in the sky, trying to see if they're being blown one direction or the other, because you want to be able to try to compensate for that. And we also obviously check the winds aloft data that's provided. And I actually check a hot air balloon weather site that has the winds divided into just very small gradients. And so you can try to figure out if, say, you're diving in and you're at the top of the box at 3,500 feet AGL, what's the wind there? And the wind lower down may be less. And so you're trying to actually compensate for the wind while you're flying your contest programs. So wind's very important. And you get penalized if you fly out of the box or you're pushed out of the box by the wind. That's a penalty. You have to deal with wind all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that early on pilots learn, you know, or have to learn is wind correction. We're just going on across country. So, you know, just trying to stay in the box and visualize those winds, I can imagine is a tough skill, but probably makes you a better pilot in the end. So, you know, a good pilot is always learning. So of course some aerobatic or upset recovery training is probably a good thing, but anything you can go on that topic?
I think every pilot should go do spin training at a minimum and an upset recovery course if you can afford it. It will teach you so much more about how an aircraft flies. You'll learn the boundaries. I'm a fairly typical pilot. I got into flying without knowing I was going to get it heavily into aerobatics, and I was scared of stalls. Yeah. And I finally took a vacation at work and decided to go do an upset recovery course in the EMT program in Santa Paula. And I loved it because you are learning so much about flying. And actually my instructor, this is why I got into aerobatics. He's like, you're weird. It's like you're a World War I fighter pilot and you're diving at the ground going in for like a strafing run.
Yeah, I can imagine. But hey, someone has to do it so they can entertain us at all these awesome air shows. So thank you.
Yeah, but no, seriously, everyone should go do spin training and upset recovery course if they can. I think it would make all those pilots out there much, much safer and much less fearful of flying their airplanes.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more with that statement. And I know aerobatics in general can seem a little intimidating to get into, or you're not really sure where to go for information. Can you give us any insights on that?
The International Aerobatic Club, IAC.org, is part of EAA. And that's actually the kind of the organization for aerobatics in the US and actually in several countries. It is international. And it's a great resource to look up on the web. Go learn more about aerobatics. Look up if there's a chapter in your state, or maybe there's a contest nearby. Just reach out to them. And often they will, if you're interested, you can come volunteer at a contest. And we'd be happy to have you and put you to work recording scores or, you know, helping out on the judges line. It's a really good way to learn aerobatics. And don't think we're not friendly. Sometimes people are like, oh, those aerobatic pilots, they think they're just so good. And I'm all like, I will talk to anyone about aerobatics if you come up to me. I'm super friendly. Though I will say often when I'm at the airport and I'm out to practice, I'm actually out there thinking about practicing really intense figures. And so I do tend to be very serious, but you know, yeah.
Think about some of the attitudes that you're putting yourself in. You know, you have to take it very serious, although it is such a fun sport and probably competition to be in. So kind of going into that a little bit, just like any sport, you have your on season, your off season, and some sort of prep. What does the contest prep kind of look like for you?
Whew, okay. So we do definitely have a season. So the winter is kind of the downtime. That's when most people do their annuals or conditional inspections on their planes. But I try to fly as much as possible to keep up my G tolerance, because your G tolerance goes away and you actually have to start building it back up as you're getting closer and closer to contest season. So you can actually pull the G's. Like right now I'm pulling about 8 G's. And -4 to -5, I'm trying to work up to -5. -5 is very painful. And I'm at a -4 right now on the negative side. And so your body has to adjust, but it does adjust. But if I went out, had flown no G's, got my plane, tried to pull 8 G's, I will absolutely gray out, if not black out.
Yeah.
So it is a sport.
Definitely. And is there anything you can do on the grounds, kind of like body prep wise, to help you be able to pull those G's? You know, obviously probably hydration's a thing.
Yeah, well, you do want to be hydrated. You do want to have food in your system for sure. I actually tend to eat some like little gummy sugar snacks sometimes to have some sugar in my system before I fly. But, you know, an exercise, it's less cardio, it's more strength. Sometimes. And so having arm strength a lot to do full deflection rolls at very high speeds is something you work on. But you're not running a marathon. It's more your body being used to G's, I think, is what it really is.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I can totally do the drink water and eat gummy bears part. So maybe for the big G's already. You never know. So Susan, tell me a little bit about how an aerobatic contest actually works.
All right. So the closest thing it's to is figure skating. So just like a figure skater is judged on each individual, you know, triple lomshavak, I don't know what they are, or whatever. And so we are the same way. We're judged on each figure, and then we're also judged on how beautifully we place the figures in that box that we're trying to not be blown out of by the wind, because there is a presentation score. And like figure skating, we fly different programs. We have a compulsory called the known, and that's given out to all the pilots at the different levels at the beginning of the year. So you can go practice that on your own and get really good at the known. And that's always the first flight. So everyone flies the same program. Then the second flight is the freestyle. And again, just like figure skating, people could do what they want. We have certain rules that you have to have, say a hammerhead and a spin. And it needs a certain point value and a certain number of figures. But you spend a lot of time developing your freestyle because it needs to be something you fly well, your plane flies well. And then the most challenging thing, which is unlike any other sport, I don't know if anyone does this, but the third program, which starts with the intermediate level and above, is called the unknown. And this is literally, they give you a sheet of paper with Aresti diagrams on it. And that's the language of aerobatics. And you have to fly that program the next day without any practice. And why this is so challenging is not only do you have to fly everything as drawn on the page, but say there's a roll that goes vertical and there's like a quarter up on it. And if you turn that quarter the wrong direction and then continue the figure, you zeroed it. And then if you go into, say, there's a loop after that, and you fly the loop in the wrong direction from left to right instead of right to left, you zeroed it. And so it is not uncommon at a contest for someone in that's leading the field in the category to make a single mistake in the known program and zero half their program, and they end up in last place. And so the unknowns are like, they're really fun, except they're super challenging.
Oh my goodness. Sounds like a lot of zeroing out. Maybe it's not as easy as hydration and gummy bears. Well, great. Thank you, Susan, so much for coming on our show today. And like she said, if you want to get into aerobatics, just find someone on social media and DM them, like Susan.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure. But yeah, thank you so much again, Susan, for coming on this episode of Between Two Wings. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in.